100 billion galaxies. Scientists think that there's at least that many. How long would it take if you tried to count them one per second? More than 300 years. Now that's hard to comprehend. But have you ever looked into that starry sky and wondered, why am I here? That may be hard to comprehend as well, but we should know the answer. We have to start from the beginning, though, to answer the ultimate question, does God exist? Is He real? Does He really live? Stay tuned to Beyond Today as we look at the real evidence. Does God exist?
Join our host Steve Myers and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Science hopes to find answers to the fundamental questions of the universe. They look for clues to the origin by exploring the detectable limits of time and space. Yet even the most powerful telescope can't answer the most fascinating question of all time. Does God exist? To discuss this today, I have two guests, writer and editor Mario Sigley and Howard Davis, editor, producer, writer. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Good to be here.
Well, we've got a big one to discuss today. We've got to look at the hard questions. We've got to ask the hard questions because we want real answers to that ultimate question. Does God exist? And I know as you begin to talk about a religious subject, does the belief in God, does faith exceed scientific evidence? In other words, is it only from faith that you can prove there's a God, or is there really scientific evidence that leads us to that?
Well, it's not just a religious question. Religion usually is assigned to the idea that it's the subjective part of man. It's something that a man kind of creates for himself to find a meaning. The question is it or existence, is God real? And it is his reality just as sure as we're sitting here, as people are watching on TV, the reality that they exist, does God exist? So it's really a question of not just belief and faith, but evidence that you can prove. And so it is all wrapped into a larger issue of reality.
So we should be able to see things that lead us in that direction.
Yes, it's like flying over here. We had faith in an airplane. Now, we might never have seen who designed and built it, but we have faith that planes do fly. And so faith is not separated from science. It is united. In other words, our faith should be based on solid evidence.
And so in a sense, we're saying the evidence should lead us even to be more faithful. Would that be fair?
Well, everybody actually has faith in the human mind's ability to perceive reality. And it takes you not too long to figure out when everybody else is flying that this thing's got to be real. Now, I did not take that kind of engineering. I went to university, and I lived in Seattle when I was younger for a long time, and I watched them build the 747 in Everett. And I thought it was fascinating. Took a tour of the plant up there, 6 million parts. I have confidence they knew exactly what they were supposed to do. I don't understand the whole thing. So it did boil down to faith that they knew what the hard evidence is. Now, when we take a look at does God exist, we have to look at all the hard evidence and ask logically the question, how does everything exist without someone that made it? And the logical human mind that backs up, looks at the whole forest, all the trees in place, has to say, yep, there was a cause, this is the effect, it is the creation.
So is it fair to say then science lends itself to faith, that it lends itself to creation?
Yes, because science provides the evidence for our faith in God. The creation is linked to a creator.
So they're not separate.
Right. I can't see electricity. I can see what electricity does. I know it's powerful. And I've studied electricity. We're able to communicate with the public right now because electricity exists. But nobody really knows what it is. It is invisible and it is powerful. Well, we know by evidence that we can tell a lot about it. Same thing with God. And we have to realize that these kinds of big issues are our logic based on things we can't see.
All right, let's get more specific then. Let's really get right down to some proofs, concrete scientific proofs, things that we can really see that show there is a creator.
Yes, that's why the first proof about a creator is that creation requires a creator. Something cannot come out of nothing. And so we do have to have a beginning. And we do.
Some would argue with that, of course. What about that beginning?
Yes.
When they look at, was there a beginning?
Well, science does know by physics and calculation of space-time and the creation of energy and matter that it had a beginning. They know that before the beginning, there was nothing as we know it. Mm-hmm. It was, we know, something. Now, that's what, where you talk about the existence of God, the Bible picks up. In the beginning was God, and that was before he spoke and everything existed. So there was something before, but we put the name, and the Bible itself puts the name God on that power before.
Right. So this creator, with the creation, he made the creation. Scientists back that up as well?
Not all of them are going to accept that there is a creator behind the creation. And for many centuries, people thought that the creation was something eternal. And certainly that was what scientists thought of that day. But now they have shown that the creation does have a beginning, what they call the Big Bang. And before that Big Bang, they know there wasn't anything. So the beginning of creation requires something to have created it. Creation could not have created itself.
It had to come from something. It had to come from a creator.
And that's why the great philosopher who said God was dead, not because there wasn't plenty of evidence, he said, I don't want to believe in him. He did say, as long as you can think logically, you are going to come to the conclusion there is a God. I just don't want to think logically. And he went insane, quite literally.
Now, that reminded me, wasn't there a scientist that was a devout atheist?
Yes.
Recently.
Just this last year, Sir Anthony Flew, a British philosopher, a very renowned atheist. He was one of the major brains behind atheistic philosophy, and he had to admit, with the evidence of DNA and all of that information inside cells, he could not explain it without a creator being involved. And so he renounced his atheism, which, of course, was very badly taken by the humanist ideas of not having a creator, but he had the intellectual honesty to face the facts and to admit that all this leads to a creator.
So if you're really intellectually honest, like you say, right, it leads you to see there is a creator behind the creation.
Well, and Steve, you in the introduction said that there are at least 100 billion galaxies. Well, we now know through science and through the fabulous Hubble telescope, and you just recently were in Hawaii at one of the largest telescopes in the world, and you were explaining this to me, Mario, that they now know the nature of the universe, that it is expanding, and it is like, literally, it says, from 2,500 years ago in the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 40, it says, God stretched the heavens like a curtain. And now, literally, we know through sort of the mind of mathematics, and then what we see, that that's what's happening. Out 16 billion light years at least, this universe of all these galaxies are expanding like a curtain, and it's accelerating. Right now, everything is getting faster and faster as it expands.
So as we
so
look
the
at
language of the Bible, actually, this is 2,500 years ago, is a perfect description of what science is now arriving through the logic of physics, astrophysics.
I might add, too, that now they've discovered that the universe is actually very flat in its form. They've been able to plot all the galaxies, and it is very similar to a curtain, which, you know, is a flat piece of cloth hanging on something. So even in that way, you again see, how could the Bible have known all of these things? How could a prophet of that time have come up with the accurate evidence that now scientists are discovering?
And so science now is finding out what the Bible knew long ago, that right, God did create things. Well, there is concrete evidence. If someone asked you to prove that God exists, what would you say? Stay tuned for more evidence.
Does God exist? From the planets and the vastness of mysterious space, what can we reason? How can we not consider the case for a creator? After all, you can only find the right answers if you ask the right questions. Who is behind the power, the beauty, the order, and the stunning complexity of nature? Here we can meet God with an open mind. These are the pathways through the cascade of wonders all around us to lead us to understand who it is that made it all possible, made it all happen, made it for you. With answers too priceless to pay for, call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv to get your free copy of Does God Exist? Be sure.
We've got an exciting booklet that you need. Does God Exist? You'll have the proof spelled right out for you here. It'll help guide you through the evidence that there is a God. And we've been talking about that quite a bit today. Get on the internet, beyondtoday.tv. You can download it immediately and start reading and looking at the true evidence that's right there before our eyes. Now, we've been talking about that first proof that creation does demand a creator, and that scientifically you can prove it. Now, what about other things? What about the fact that there's all these fantastic ways that things work together? Is there another proof that God does exist?
Yes, the second proof is that law requires a lawgiver, that law is necessary and it exists in the universe. Well, how did the laws come into existence? Did they come by themselves? So certainly we see that because we have so many laws, and so far scientists have discovered 323 different laws that govern the universe. Some of these are like the law of gravity, the law of absolute zero, which controls the temperature. If and any of these 323 laws were changed just a little bit, even to a thousandth of a decimal point, it would throw off, just like a fine clock that if you have one gear that's too big, it would throw off the whole mechanism and you wouldn't be able to tell time accurately.
So the existence of law is another one of those proofs.
There are some laws that within the way the law actually is stated in the logic of the law, because all laws are actually ways to express the logic of part of the creation, is the actual proof God exists. For instance, there's something called the law of laws of thermodynamics, and one is the law of entropy. And that means that you start out at any point in time with some energy, and over time, energy gets less and less and dissipates, and things get more and more random. It's sort of like my kids' bedrooms. They never get clean and organized unless the parent comes in and tells them logically, this is to go here, there, and whether. Otherwise, it's chaos. This is the way the universe is. Now, in order to get a lot of energy invested, we know logically something put it there, because it just doesn't happen. You had to have some bigger form of energy and more organization to create the initial organization. Nothing organizes it by itself. This proves a creator that is designing, that has power in order for these things to happen.
Now, scientifically, other things?
Yes, I'd like to first of all also use an illustration of the winding up of a clock. And the universe is this way, that it has been losing its power, initial power. It's been deteriorating as energy dissipates. You no longer can do as much. But who wound up this initial clock of the universe? It couldn't have wound itself up. And so these laws are there. They work harmoniously. They help us become human beings, as we see. They keep human beings on the planet of the Earth through gravity. And you have to have a superior being that brought all of this and carefully, what they call nowadays, fine-tuning of the universe.
People are so used to the brilliance of American and Western technology, European, the Japanese, now the Chinese technology. We're so used to this brilliance, we think it just happens. Well, it doesn't. Technology itself proves a God exists, because every one of our technical advancements comes by implementing these laws that are built into the creation. And you can count on them. We can engineer a bridge 10 miles long and it won't collapse. We can create a spaceship that can go to the moon and back. We can create a 747. That's because you can count on these laws. And we take these for granted. These are a proof of this designer, this lawgiver.
It's very interesting that, you know, evolutionists begin with the laws already existing, but they can never explain where these laws initially came from. So they start off already with everything functioning and matter and energy there and all of these wonderful laws. So it's not fair for them to say, well, God doesn't exist, and at the same time say, but we don't have to worry about the laws. You know, they have been around.
They're just there already. Yes. Well, when you talk about the laws, that seems to lead us to life, that in order to have a regulated kind of life, there's got to be these laws, and that the law that there, where does life come from?
Right. Well, Mario's statement about it's not fair because they already start these evolutionists that want to deny there's a creator behind life. They also are denying fundamental reality. They're irrational in the assertion that there is an organization. And when it comes to life, this is the primary way in which they are the most irrational.
Yeah, and where does life come from?
That's right.
Well,
we know this law of biogenesis is that life only comes from pre-existing life.
So
we know that
it
never...
That is a third proof, then. That's life comes from life.
Proof. And so we absolutely scientifically know through 200 years of trying to look at every potential case where something would come from nothing. Life would just spontaneously happen, that it has never been observed. And real science is all based on evidence. Hmm. And the evidence is that life only comes through life, which means a life giver. Ultimately, someone that got it going, breathed the first life in. And Mario was talking recently in another program I was doing with him. He said that there were some experiments done, and they tried to throw electricity. It was 40, 50 years ago. Throw electricity at little sort of concoctions. And all they got was mud or tar, right?
So you need life to generate life, ultimately pointing back to God.
We got a lot of scientists trying to create life from nothing, and they can't do it.
Just can't do it. So when you look at the proof, there are ways that you can prove that God exists. We've looked at three of them already. Can you think of other ways that you can prove that God exists? We're going to examine some of those things, so stay with us.
Does God exist? How can we not consider the case for a creator? After all, you can only find the right answers if you ask the right questions. Who is behind the power? Understand who it is that made it all possible, made it all happen, made it for you. Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv to get your free copy of Does God Exist? Be sure.
How to be a successful family is not a mystery to the readers of the Good News magazine. It will support you, too, with timely information and the inspiration to keep your life on track. Understand the best lifestyles for you and your family success. Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv to make it all happen with your free subscription to the Good News.
Now you can order your free copy of the Good News magazine. You need it. Order it. Go online. You can read the articles for yourself. Fantastic articles dealing with not only topics like does God exist, but also things that would help your marriage, things to help explain world events. This is free. You can get it for absolutely nothing. Get online. Important information for you and your family. We hope you'll get it right away. Now we've been talking about this tremendous topic of God existing, actually proving that God exists. Now, when you talk about life and that proof that God exists, what about life just working together, how things work? Is that part of the evidence?
Yes, it is, that life has a harmony. It all works together. And you have the example of symbiosis where, you know, bees need flowers to feed, and flowers need bees to pollinate. And without one being there, without the other, you wouldn't have had these living things working and living together.
Same thing within the human body. If the brain doesn't operate, nothing works. If the heart doesn't operate, this is a system. Everything works together when you look at the way life is actually created. It means somebody designed a system that all of a sudden was created and functioning with billions of elements, billions, because there are 100 trillion cells in our bodies, and they're made up of basically the same material, but they turn into heart, they turn into knees, they turn into brains, they turn into eyeballs, things like this. It's amazing, and it's all harmonious.
And without all those things working together, man couldn't exist. Yeah. Now, what about the way that the species are organized? Is there any proofs in that creation regarding to that?
There's the proof that life reproduces according to its own kind. It does not change its kind. And so we have of the Earth's more than 1 million types of species, you have frogs reproducing into frogs. They don't reproduce into salamanders. They don't reproduce into cows. Mm-hmm. And you see this pattern throughout life, that it was carefully designed so that you always are going to have the child coming from the parent, and that they both are carrying the same genetic information.
No, that's in the Bible, right? Doesn't God say that?
That is actually written between 2 and 4,000 years ago, parts of the Bible that describe the very beginning. And the language, of course, is broader, but it is perfect science, perfectly revealed by our modern technology.
Now, how can you tie that then back into the Bible as a proof of God existing?
Well,
can we do that?
You do once you start talking about the God's involvement in human history, because the Bible is a sort of a description of God starting to speak into human history. And of course, a lot of that is prophecy, isn't it?
What about prophecy? Is that part of it?
Yes, it is. That's another one of the proofs that God exists, that he was able to predict things and to record them in the Bible. And then you have historical evidence of those prophecies being fulfilled.
So that's predictions made before the events actually happened that were recorded, and then those events actually came about.
Yes, there are over 2,000 prophecies in the Bible. And by the way, no other religious book proclaims it has prophecies. Only the Bible is willing and bold enough to say ahead of time that this event will be carried out.
All right, give me an example.
Well, we have an example in Isaiah 44, where the prophet Isaiah, 200 years before the birth of this world conqueror, and he actually names Cyrus, who was the first king of Persia. And it mentions that Cyrus would be raised and that he would defeat the Babylonians. Now, during Isaiah's day, the Babylonians were the top power.
The United States of the time, weren't they, really?
Yes.
The
mm-hmm. And the Persians were a small nation, certainly nothing to challenge it. And 200 years later, King Cyrus appears in the world scene. He defeats the Babylonians, and curiously enough, the Jewish people had been captured. They were in captivity in Babylon. And they had the prophecy of Isaiah. And according to the historian Josephus, the priests actually were able to show King Cyrus his name in this prophecy. Hmm. And mentioned that it impressed King Cyrus so much that he showed favor to the Jewish people and allowed them to come back to their homeland. And that is when they established themselves after that Babylonian captivity.
So literally you had history given in advance and it came about.
Well, and we have so many examples, and this is why people today tend to believe in the Bible and Bible prophecy in the United States. There's so many Bibles around because Jesus predicted that in the last days, Jews would be in Jerusalem for 2,000 years. They weren't. And here they are, 1948, they're back there, and the United States keeps them there. So it's a very real. This is 2,000 years specifically, these people wiped out, and then they wind up in control of the very city Jesus said 2,000 years ago. And this goes all the way back to Abraham. That's why the Arabs, for instance, are a proof, 4,000-year-old prophecies from the prophet Abraham. They all are fighting Jews now, and 4,000 years ago, prophecies were made. You can read them in your Bible that down at the end of history, Jews, the descendants of this tribe called Judah, and then Abraham's descendants of Ishmael, would be fighting one another for control of the world.
And here
that
they
was 4,000 years ago. Hmm. So this is pretty pretty convincing proof to anybody with an open mind of a supernatural God, because nobody writes the news in advance.
All right, let's say that's not enough. Okay,
yeah.
Give me a couple of examples. Anything more? What about that, Mario?
Yes, there are over 50 specific prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ and what he was going to go through, what town he would be born in. The prophets in the Old Testament.
Write down a specific incident.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. It does mention about Bethlehem. That's why King Herod was able to ask the Jewish scribes, where was the Messiah supposed to come?
And they could just look it up.
Exactly. And they said, well, it was in Bethlehem. And that's where Jesus Christ, and of course then Herod sent those soldiers to kill all the little young children. So here, if he didn't have the prophecy, he wouldn't have had any idea where to go.
Mm-hmm. And even that prophecy that said that they would be killed was even 500 years old, 600 years old.
Absolutely.
That all the babies would be killed when Jesus would be a baby himself.
Just
so
all right there.
It proves it.
Now, with all those proofs, we looked at all of these different examples of the creation demanding a creator and the laws, and we went down through all these different examples. When you look at all that, you put the whole package together, you've got to come to the conclusion of asking, why would a creator do this?
Well, that's the most fascinating question of all, and the most important, and that there is a purpose that we were born. We are not cosmic accidents. We came to be here on this earth with all of these wonderful laws focusing like a little cradle so that man could arise and fulfill a purpose that the Creator has. An incredible purpose that few human beings, even religiously minded, have any idea that God is building a family, a spiritual family that he wants to share the universe and eternity with all of us. What greater news is that?
That is fantastic news. In fact, there's so much to the story. Stay tuned as we wrap things up.
Does God exist? How can we not consider the case for a creator? After all, you can only find the right answers if you ask the right questions. Who is behind the power? Understand who it is that made it all possible, made it all happen, made it for you. Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv to get your free copy of Does God Exist? Be sure.
The creation isn't an accident. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than to believe in God. Intricate, interdependent life is impossible without a divine designer. It was the Creator who put physical and spiritual laws into effect. He created life that can only come from life. And science itself knows that life can only reproduce after its own kind, just exactly like your Bible states. The Bible itself is evidence of the fact that God exists, because it's true, it's accurate as it deals with history, the physical world, and prophecy itself. The good news is God does exist. And you can continue to prove it. Go right now. Go to the website and order our literature. It'll help you in your studies. Men, thanks for being with me today.
I enjoyed very much being here.
Great to be here.
Now, when you remember this program, you look to your future, think of us at Beyond Today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.com. TV. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.